We have been looking at the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and today we come to the final one, and I'll read to us Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And our subject today is the privilege of suffering and its great reward. The privilege of suffering, it sounds like an oxymoron. How can that be? Well, we've been looking at these Beatitudes together for the last few weeks, and we see that they show us a picture of a genuine Christian. They show us of one, a Christian that has the right attitude, a Christian that lives and conducts their behavior in the right way. And we begin with the Beatitudes, but it's a lifelong process of growing in our understanding and expression of them. So we don't just get them all at once. It's a lifelong process. We grow in them. And as time goes on, and growth means that we become more and more like our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are set apart for Him as a bright and a shining example. I think that's what we all want to be, bright and shining examples. Now, this growth is so important. If you were to ask any mother, we live near a clinic, a maternity clinic, where the mothers will diligently take their babies to be weighed. Now, if a mother sees that her baby's weight is not increasing, if they put the baby on the measurement chart and the baby is not growing, that mother is very, very worried indeed. And so should a believer be very worried indeed. If we are just the same this year as we were last year, we ought to be growing in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we grow? As newborn babies desire the spiritual milk of the Word of God, that they may grow thereby. This is how we grow, by constantly feeding upon the milk of God's Word. And when we do, our lives bring honor to the Father. They bring glory to the Father. But we've come now to the last Beatitude, and all the first seven Beatitudes, they are something that is done, something that we do to keep God's commands and God's ways. But these blessed qualities that we keep, the result of keeping them will result in us experiencing the eighth Beatitude. Let me show you what I mean. When we keep the first seven, persecution will come. Definitely will come. It will arise for the word's sake. But blessed are you. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now the children of the world, they think that these words don't make sense. How can this verse make sense? Blessed are you if you are persecuted. They can't understand. Worldly people cannot understand spiritual things. Those who are perishing, to them, the word of God is foolishness. but to them that are being saved. It is the wisdom of God. The lost say, how can I be blessed when men revile me? That's the unsaved and the unrenewed mind can't grasp this. This is too much for them. For the children of the world, they think, well, if you're going to be blessed, you need wealth, you need ease, you need comfort. That's how you will be blessed in life. If you have those things, you will have a blessed life. But in this verse, this false idea is being corrected. The Lord is making it clear that true blessing is spiritual. It is not material. In our world today, all over the world, people think that to be blessed means that I've got a lot of material wealth. There are people that measure blessing by what they possess, by what they have got. Well, just think of Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. The Lord said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Or look at Psalms. We read that the little that a righteous man has is better than the wealth of many wicked. So how much better it is to get wisdom than to get gold. How much better it is. Gold and silver can never, never satisfy and bring true blessing to our life. But having God's mighty hand upon our life, having his hand upholding us, leading us, guiding us, that's blessing. That brings satisfaction. That brings more than anything that this world could possibly offer. Now, God's ways, the way of the Bible, is opposite from what the world thinks. His ways are higher than man's ways. Man's ways are limited to time. God's ways are eternal. They are forever. And our verse clearly tells us that blessed are the persecuted. Well, actually, it's doubly blessed. It tells us that when we face persecution for righteousness' sake, we see this in verse 10, we read the word, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then again in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you. And all the other Beatitudes only mention the word blessed once. But for this Beatitude, you're doubly blessed when you are persecuted. And it is a blessing, a double blessing for the persecuted. Look at the first seven Beatitudes. They describe what a real Christian is. The person who lives or does these, lives and does and values them, is the person who is seeking righteousness, a person that is wanting to please God, a person that's wanting to honor God. Now, what does the world think of the righteous? What do they think of a person who honors God? They don't like it. They are not pleased with it. And Psalm 37 and verse 32 tells us this very clearly. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Seeks to slay him. The wicked plot against the righteous. They gnash their teeth at them. In other words, they grind their teeth in fury and in anger. And as David says in the Psalms, the wicked draw the sword and they bend the bow to slay the upright in heart. So it's very clear the world, the people in darkness don't like the righteous. They don't like those that are living and displaying. And even one of the Beatitudes, if you live just one of them, they don't like them. Never mind all of them. If you live them all and you are increasing in the Beatitudes, you are despised and persecuted by the worldly. The worldly, let me give you an example. We'll run through them very briefly. The worldly and the ungodly hate somebody who is poor in spirit, because the ungodly value pride and self-esteem, and they look down on somebody who is poor in spirit. The world doesn't like the meek. That's the second one, meek. They think that the meek are weak. The world, that is, those in darkness, they want to fashion their own path. They want to walk in their own paths. They don't want to submit to God's path. They don't want to follow what God's commands say. They don't want to meekly receive the word of God. The world cannot stand it. Oh, they hate it when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Rather, they want to run after every sensual pleasure. They don't want truth. They want pleasure. They don't want righteousness. They want entertainment and excitement. And when we seek and hunger after righteousness, they say, no, you're a dull person. We don't want that. The world doesn't like it when we show mercy, because they like and they prefer to get even when they are wronged. They have the motto, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. And we must have revenge. Don't tell us to be merciful. No, we hate it. We want to get revenge. And when you are pure in heart, oh, that's what they hate the most of all. Purity of heart. They want their imaginations and their hearts to run wild. They have their ideas. Don't talk about purity. We want to enjoy life. And the world doesn't want the peace. We are to be peacemakers. But the peacemaker comes and makes peace by pointing to righteousness. But they don't want peace based upon righteousness. No. It's all right to compromise. It's all right to appease. Don't worry about that. Don't speak about righteousness. We don't want peace by righteousness. We can have peace by compromise or appeasement, but don't make us be righteous. So I think it's abundantly clear that God's ways, the Beatitudes, are opposite to the carnal nature. They are, the lost are convicted by them. They don't like them. They are reproved by them. And for this reason, they persecute those that keep them. They persecute them. And we come to this eighth beatitude. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What does it mean to be persecuted? Today, we don't get thrown into the lion's den like Daniel or the early martyrs. We're not thrown into the fiery furnace. We are not burned at the stake for our faith. Does that mean that persecution is over for our generation? No, it's just different. Persecution of tongue is what we experience today more than persecution of hand. And it's more common in our day. But let me tell you, it's not less cruel. It's not less cruel than persecution of the hand. Slander is harsh. Slander is ruthless. And it spreads lies and false accusations of every kind against God's people. In fact, the Bible calls that slander all manner of evil. Oh, when they speak all manner of evil against us, that's persecution. Persecution for the word's sake. The word persecution, what does it mean? It literally means to chase away or drive away. It speaks of the idea of a people not wanting the company of believers, not wanting believers to be in their presence. Anything that's done to push a believer out of a group, no matter how subtle it is, equates to persecution. When we walk in step with the Lord, the ungodly want to chase us from their group. They don't want us. We simply don't fit in anymore. We make them feel uncomfortable. They don't want us around. A Bible example of this scattering and pushing out is Acts 8, 1 to 4. Saul breathed out threatenings, great persecution arose amongst the believers, and it caused the church to be scattered. They were literally driven out and driven away from Jerusalem. And many times when somebody becomes a Christian and they go back to their old group of friends, they are driven out and driven away from their old group of friends. No, you're a Bible basher. You're a Jesus freak. You're religious. You're a fanatic. They call you all sorts of names. Go from our group or become like us again. You shouldn't be surprised. This is what the Bible says. You shouldn't be surprised when, not if, when we face persecution. Why? Because a servant is not greater than the master. John 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And this brings me to the second form of persecution, modern persecution that we face today. We think of the Lord, how they called him Beelzebub, how they abused the Lord verbally. They insulted him. They lied against him. They belittled him. They mocked him. And they will do the same to us. This persecution tries to verbally destroy our reputation. And we see this in verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So persecution is double. It's not just being pushed out or driven out or shunned by a group. It includes being reviled. What does that mean? It means to have a vile and vicious and hurtful words spoken against you. Lies designed to hurt, to pull you down. Why do they come against us? For righteousness' sake. And we must be careful to note this. This is something which we have to keep in mind and learn from what the scripture is saying in this beatitude, for righteousness' sake. There are people who suffer because of their own foolish choices and their own immature behavior. In other words, they create the persecution and the problems for themselves. These problems could have been avoided if they just acted a little better. And they are being persecuted for their own misguided ideas and their own foolishness. Now, a very good Bible example of somebody that was persecuted for righteousness is Joseph. Joseph, he refused to sin with Potiphar's wife. And because of that, she became furious. She lied about him and ruined his reputation. Had Joseph done anything wrong? Nothing at all. But here came persecution against Joseph. It caused him to be separated from the group. He was cast out of the palace. He was put in prison. He was separated from her. His good name and his character was attacked. And Joseph did no wrong. Actually, he did right. He did right to resist the temptation. He was persecuted because he was following righteousness. His right living offended Potiphar's wife, not his foolish living. So when we are persecuted for right living, that's good. But when we are persecuted for foolish living, it's our own fault. When we live right, our lives will convict those who are not living right. And it will bring persecution to us. And all of those that don't want to live right, the worst thing is for somebody that's shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their group. It's like a stench to them. They don't want that person in the group. And let me put it this way. Being righteous, practicing righteousness, really means being like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are like the Lord Jesus Christ and you go into the darkness, you shine and the light overpowers the darkness and the darkness feels ashamed and they hate you. Verse 11 says, blessed are those persecuted for my sake. So we saw the first time in verse 10, for righteousness' sake, and now the same thing, really, for my sake. So to be persecuted for righteousness' sake is to be persecuted for his sake. And it's the same as being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he was the most loving person. He was the most good person. He was the most gracious person, the most kind person that this world ever saw. But everywhere he went, those Pharisees and Sadducees persecuted him and hated him because his conduct and his teaching exposed their evil. That's why they hated him. I'm not ashamed. This is what our motto must be. I'm not ashamed to be counted as Christ's. Even if they're going to hate me, I'm going to stand up and be righteous wherever the Lord has planted me. You see, I would rather be persecuted for his sake than have the world love me. I want him to love me, not the world to love me. John 15 and verse 19, if you were of the world, John 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. The world loves its own. They recognize their own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you and they persecute you. And when we are persecuted for his sake, for righteousness' sake, we can take it as, and we can have confidence that we are his. It provides assurance that we are his, that we are genuine, that we, let's look at the verse that we read earlier in our reading, Philippians 1, 27 to 29. We see what it means to be a true Christian. Verse 27, only let your conduct, this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the first part, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That we should live in a way, I'm paraphrasing now, that we should live in a way that is in harmony with the gospel and in step with the entire message of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we live in harmony with the gospel, what will the result be? What will the outcome be? Well, we'll see it in verse 28. And this is the outcome. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, shaken by opposition that arises. So when we live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, we will have opposition. And the world will do everything to try to cause fear. They try to cause anxiety. They try to cause the godly to be full of terror. But this verse continues, and it says this, which to them is proof of petition. In other words, that means your fearless courage provides evidence and a reminder of their destruction. So when they see us, they are reminded that their destruction is sure and of our salvation. But to us who behave as becomes the gospel of salvation, when the Christian faces opposition, when the Christian endures all the vicious, opposing slander, and this slander that comes to them, it completely fails to turn them away from the truthfulness of the gospel. This is a clear sign to our oppressors that we are the Lord's, that we are truly God's. We do all this to them, and they still hold on to their truth. They don't turn from their truth. They walk in the righteous ways. It's a clear sign that we are on the right track and that they are on the path, the wrong path. Look at the next verse, verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And here we learn something, and that is that believing and suffering go hand in hand. You cannot truly say we have believed if we never suffer for righteousness' sake. And one way we know that we have truly believed, well, that's simple, if we suffer persecution. This suffering, in other words, provides assurance or evidence of whose we are. Let me give it to you in the negative. Think of the opposite. Think of someone who never suffers persecution for his sake. They are loved and accepted by very worldly people. What kind of people are these that are loved and accepted by the world? They are the ones that approve the world's standards. They accept the world's morals and the world's ethics. They live like the world lives. They laugh at the world's jokes. They watch the same entertainment that the world watches. They keep silent when the name of the Lord is blasphemed. They never preach the truth to anyone. They never tell people that they are lost. They never tell people that they need to get saved. And they will never be persecuted. Why? The world accepts them. They fit right in. So we who are persecuted, we should take it as a comfort that they see the Lord in us and that it turns them to angry words against us. But what a stern warning is given to those to whom the world speaks well of. And we see that in Luke 6, 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. We know how true this is. If the world speaks so badly against those who are so good, they spoke roughly of John the Baptist. They questioned his authority. They spoke badly of the apostles. They viewed the apostles as heretics. The Jewish leaders said that their teaching was blasphemous, and they refused to listen to it. Noah was mocked. The world at that time was uninterested in Noah's warning. David and Joseph and the Apostle Paul and even our Lord Jesus Christ was mocked. They called him a glutton and a wine drinker and a friend of publicans and sinners. Let me ask you a question. On that final day, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, on which side do you want to stand? Who do you want to be loved and accepted by? By the world or by the Lord Jesus Christ? When we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we stand with the righteous. We stand with them of old, like Moses and Noah and the Apostle Paul, and we are on that side. I want to be on their side. I don't want to stand with all of them that are the sons of this earth. Oh, I want to identify with the righteous. We will be owned by God as God's own children because we suffered the same persecution that he did. What proof this provides of new life that is in us, that we are indeed the Lord's. I read it again to you, Matthew 5 and 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now look at verse 12. There's still more. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice that phrase, great is your reward. Richly rewarded will you be in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Well, we don't know what exactly will be the reward of being persecuted on this earth. We don't know for sure, but one thing I can tell you, it will be more wonderful than you can ever imagine. God's reward. Just seeing the Lord is reward beyond what we could ever imagine, and we shall see him face to face. And the early martyrs understood this truth. They understood that blessed are they that are persecuted. And I was reading of Dr. Taylor, a British reformer from the year 1554, and he was arrested and persecuted for righteousness' sake by Queen Mary of Scots. And this is what his testimony was. He was being led by the sheriff to his place of execution. And as he drew near, he began to skip and dance and walk as if he was dancing. He leapt for joy as if he was dancing, saying, "I'm almost at my father's house. Just two more stiles to go." In other words, that was two landmarks. "Just two more blocks to go, and I will be home." What deep assurance, what courage these men had. Why? They focused upon eternal things. And we too can have courage when we are faced with persecution, when we are put out from amongst our old friends, when we are put out from groups that say, "Oh, don't come and talk to us about the Lord Jesus Christ," when we've been slandered and we've been mocked. if we suffer for his sake, we shall reign with him. If we suffer, there is great reward. Friend, let us never trade the reward for acceptance of God, for the acceptance and praises of man. No, I want the acceptance of God. May the Lord help us to live righteous lives. And when persecution does come, may the Lord remind us of this biblical perspective. Let's pray together. Lord, there was a time when we never believed that we could be blessed for being persecuted. It was foreign to us. It was far from us, O Lord. Your ways are so opposite to our ways, O Lord. But Lord, your word says that if we lose our life for your sake, we shall find our lives. If we humble ourselves for you, we shall be exalted. And Lord, we ask you that this truth of being blessed in the face of persecution would be made clear in our minds, that we would understand it, that we would be inspired to live for you. And we think of the words of the hymn, Lord, may your rich gaze impart strength to our fainting hearts. May your rich gaze inspire our zeal. Lord, you have died for us. You love us, O Lord. You are changeless. You are a living fire. O Lord, keep us walking in your ways. Let us never stray from walking and living and obeying the truth, O Lord. Keep us, we pray. Let us be a people willing to pay the price, no matter what the cost. O Lord, let us be a people who bring much glory to your name through this coming week, through this coming year. O, our prayer is that we may shine brightly for you, no matter what the persecution we face. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.